أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, in this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are three beautiful advices that the Nabi of Allah has given the Ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as Jawami'ul Kalim, meaning that in a few words he was able to encapsulate an entire ocean. So though the words are so concise, if a person has the deep knowledge, he can dive deep into this ocean and he will have the ability to retrieve the pearls from this ocean of advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, we know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his speech was an inspiration, a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. That the Nabi of Allah didn't speak out of his desires, out of his emotions. You know, some people when they engage in a conversation, they speak from their emotions. And then sometimes you say, you know, I cannot have a meeting with this person because he or she is too emotional. We need you to calm down and then we can have a conversation. When the person is emotional, it's hard to have a conversation. Just to digress a little, that is why they say, never make a decision when you're in an emotional state. You will always regret that decision. The person now is in love with a certain car, some supercar, whatever it is. And now somebody says, listen, I'll give you this car here, you pay me over 1 year. Now the person loves the car, I say, done, I'll buy it. Now when he sees the, every month the amount that he's got to pay, now he realizes that, oh, I can't manage to pay this, how am I going to pay this? So the person, it's an impulsive emotional decision that now the person regrets thereafter. That is why even ulama-i kiram explain that when you get married, you should avoid getting married based on emotions. Hence, people are discouraged from dating and courting because emotions. The person should do the necessary homework, do background checks with regards to the girl, for the men folk, and whether it's the woman folk, they can do background checks with regards to the boy. Where did he study? Who? What was his circle of friends? And so on and so forth. And get an understanding of the personality. Sometimes the person can even find from the asatiza and the teachers, whatever it is, what kind of personality. Is he temperamental? Is he a calm person? Is he, you know, is he disciplined? And so then thereafter, when the two parties will see each other, now they will that feel whether they are inclined in terms of appearance and in terms of the voice. Because sometimes the person doesn't see the girl, and what may be perceived as beauty in the mind of the mother or the aunt or the grandmother may not be very attractive to the boy, because the boy is living in a different era. So nevertheless, that any decision that is made out of emotion will always, there'll always be regret and remorse. That is why people say, let me think over it. Let me sleep over it. I'll sleep over it and decide tomorrow. So now it means that the person gathers and calms, his emotions calms down. And now he gives it thought from a space where the person is not emotional, he's calm. Now when the person makes the decision, inshallah, there's great hope that the decision will be much more, you know, objective. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never spoke out of emotions. Right. And neither did he merely speak out of intelligence, because sometimes a person can speak out of great intelligence. But then every person's intelligence varies depending on the amount of experience a person has, depending on the amount of knowledge the person has in that field. Like for example, a doctor who has practiced for 2 or 3 years cannot be compared to a doctor who has been practicing for 20 years. Obviously, the doctor who has practiced for 20 years has 20 years of experience behind his name. Now, when he's speaking from a position of great amount of experience. So, when it comes to intelligence, then there too, there's so many variations. So, here the Nabi of Allah did not so speak based on intelligence. But rather, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. That the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was divinely inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. There's absolutely no imperfection in the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the stream of knowledge and that speech was coming directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with his recognition, with his ma'rifah. A person who recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the person will approach the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws and injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be approached in a very different way. Brothers who are coming in late, inshallah you can perform your sunnat salah in the basement, or after the talk inshallah time will be given where you can perform your sunnah salah inshallah. That way it doesn't disturb the talk. Otherwise, if all the musallis have to stand in front in one saf and read their sunnats whilst we are speaking, then we might as well sit down. There's no point giving a speech then. For then the imam will have to navigate behind the musallis and give the talk. So anybody who is coming in late and feels they have to perform their tahiyyatul masjid in some madahib, according to some madahib, they need to perform the tahiyyatul masjid, no problem, they can go into the basement and fulfill the tahiyyatul masjid. Otherwise, if it is the sunnah that we need to perform, inshallah, after the talk, we will give time to perform the sunnah. You will be able to perform it with complete concentration and devotion. There will be no talk that will be disturbing your salah. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll appreciate the words that are being given to us. I'll explain this by means of an example. If you give a little child a Krugerrand, 4-year-old child, that 4-year-old child, 5-year-old child has never seen a Kruger coin. If you give that child a Kruger coin, and on the other hand, you give the child a bowl of sweets, chocolates and sweets, generally speaking, which direction will the child go? Will the child go for the Kruger coin or will the child go for the sweets? Because in the mind of the child understands the value of sweets. But the child has not understood the value of that Kruger coin. Somebody was telling me about 75,000 rand, the value of one coin. Now, if you had to explain to the child, my dear child, you see with this one coin, you can probably buy a whole sweet shop. Or you can buy a whole truck load of sweets. You'll have a 1 year supply of sweets with this one coin. But because the child doesn't understand the value of that coin, what happened? The child didn't appreciate it, and the child went for what it understood to be valuable. This is our condition, my condition and your condition. We haven't understood who Allah is. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of everything. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ إِنْ ثَمَانِيَا. There are 8 huge angels that are carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatness of Allah we cannot even understand. The power of Allah we cannot even understand. The might of Allah is beyond our understanding. Allah, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if this Quran were revealed on a mountain, that entire mountain would have split into pieces out of understanding the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the thing, we haven't understood the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is something that we have to continuously, you know, foster within our hearts. That we have to foster the understanding of who Allah is. That is why it is mentioned of some Sahaba-i-Kiram that when they would recite the Quran and Majid, they would fall down unconscious. First of all, many of us don't even read Quran Sharif. And if we do read Quran Sharif, how do we read it? Some of us read it on our cell phones. So whilst we're reading Quran on the cell phone, a message comes, you know, just move that app out of the way, read the message. And our notification comes on Facebook, move the Quran app one side and read the notification of the Facebook message and Instagram message. That's how we read Quran Sharif, generally speaking. And even if we got the Quran physically, and there's one fly that's passing by, a mosquito, then we are quite focused on trying to eliminate that fly or mosquito. But yet it is said about the Sahaba-i-Kiram, when they would recite the Quran and Majid, it is mentioned they would fall down unconscious. هذا كلام ربي, هذا كلام ربي, هذا كلام ربي. That this is the word of my Allah. This is the word of my Allah. Now because the person understood who Allah was and who Allah is, he understood the value of the words of Allah. And now when he opened the Quran Sharif and recited it, there was a different kayfiyat and a different feeling. The person became awe-stricken by the Quran Majeed because of that person's understanding of the greatness of Allah. That is why Sahaba Ikram, when they would sit in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they understood who the Nabi of Allah was, they would sit with such respect that it comes in some riwayat that if a bird, the Sahaba would sit with such respect that even a bird could perch itself on the head of the Sahaba. It is mentioned of certain Sahaba Ikram that they did not even raise and look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly with their eyes. They would always lower their gaze out of respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah speaks about this respect in the Quran Majeed. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi wa la tajharu lahu bil qawl ka jahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tahbata a'malukum wa antum la tash'urun. That O you who believe, do not raise your voices in front of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Nabi of Allah. Do not speak to him in a harsh manner. أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. That lest your harsh speaking, your raising of your voices can be a means of destroying all your good deeds. That disrespect to the Nabi of Allah can be such that it destroys all your good deeds. That is why the deen of Islam is a deen of respect. Adab hi adab. That's why they say in Urdu, ba adab ba nasi. Or be adab be nasi. That the person who has got adab and respect, Allah will reward that person. And the person who does not have respect, Allah will disgrace that person. In fact, it is mentioned of one particular individual who used to insult the ulama-i kiram. He used to swear the ulama-i kiram. When he passed away, one of the great seniors of the time, he said, "Main qasam kaakar kehta hu. I take the qasam of Allah that if you dig this person's grave, you will find that his face will be turned away from Qibla." And it is mentioned that a storm had taken place in that locality and floods. It was monsoon season and the floods came. And this person's grave was open and they found that his face had been turned away from Qibla. In fact, I'll give another story. I mentioned it last night in the program in one of the masajid. That there was one brother in from South Africa whose grandfather passed away in Makkatul Mukarramah. He was buried in Mu'alla. And it's an amazing incident that when he went for Hajj, while he was there, they went to visit Mu'alla. And when they visited Mu'alla, there was a grave that was open. So he, in a light-hearted way, he climbed inside the grave and he lied down. And he said, "All of you make dua that inshallah this grave becomes my home. I'd like to be buried here. Imagine, this is my home. I pass away in Makkatul Mukarramah, in such a Mubarak city." So everyone said Ameen, and he came out from there. They went for lunch. After lunch, he had a heart attack. He passed away and he got buried in that same grave. So his grandson, who lives here in South Africa, people asked him, "Can you tell us, what did your grandfather do that Allah gave him such a elevated status, such a Mubarak death, that during the days of Hajj, to have passed away in Makkatul Mukarramah and to be buried in Mu'alla in such a sacred grave?" So he said, "One thing, my grandfather had great adab, respect and love for ulama-i-kiram. He loved ulama. He respected ulama-i-kiram. Remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ulama warathatul anbiya. That the ulama are the heirs of the prophets. They are the heirs of the anbiya. والأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما وإنما ورثوا العلم. That these ulama-i-kiram, they have the inheritance of the anbiya, of the prophets. And that is that knowledge of deen. They can link you to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence if you disrespect the ulama-i-kiram, Allah will take you to task. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith that من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. That whoever causes inconvenience to my friend, I declare war on that person. That is why you'll find that people who targeted the ulama-i-kiram, people who insulted the ulama-i-kiram, people who swore and abused the ulama-i-kiram, or the fuqaha-i-kiram, or the muhaddithin, or the sahaba-i-kiram, if they did not make tawbah and istighfar, Allah destroyed them. In this world they became destroyed. In this world they were disgraced. That is why deen is full of adab. Ba adab ba naseeb. Be adab be naseeb. Or baz kehte hai, bad adab bad naseeb. May Allah protect us. That the person who is disrespectful, he will have the worst shame. May Allah protect us. That is why deen is filled with respect. Respecting the masjid. Respecting the Quran and Majeed. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever wa ta'ala, this is a sign of the piety of the heart. It is a sign of the piety of the heart. Hence it is mentioned that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the letters to the ambassadors, with the ambassadors to the various kings, there were some kings who took the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They kissed it. They placed it on their head. Allah blessed them with iman at some point. And there was another king, when he got the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tore it and he threw it on the floor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this, he said, may Allah tear his kingdom as he tore my letter. And that is exactly what happened. His own son poisoned him. His own son poisoned him, or his own son rather killed him. And then he had kept a poison in his treasure. And he put that, the note on that poison, whoever drinks this will be given an eternal life. So they were filled with greed. When the son walked in, he killed the father to get the spoils and the wealth and to get the kingdom. And he went in and he saw this bottle, this potion. So he drank it and he died also. The entire kingdom was torn apart out of showing disrespect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So hence, this deen is a deen of respect. It's a deen of adab. And it is only logical. That is why when we enter the masjid, we should have respect. The imam of the masjid, we will have respect. The muaddin of the masjid, we will have respect. The Quran and Majeed, we will have respect. We will hold the Quran and Majeed with respect. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. That you cannot even hold the Quran Sharif except that you are in a state of wudu. You will find many people, they will hold the Quran, they will put it on the floor. Place the Quran on the floor. If somebody gives you a valuable document, logic, I'm appealing to your logic. A very, very valuable, it's your title deed to your house. Your passport. You are now going to your next country. They've given you your ticket. There's the ticket in your hand. Will you throw it on the floor? Will you place it on the floor? The person will keep the passport with him all the time. He's got dollars. He'll keep it close. Hold the dollar, especially in South Africa. The person's all the time. He understands the value of money. He understands the importance of the passport. May Allah ta'ala fill our hearts with the understanding of the value of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kalamul muluk, mulukul kalam. The word of the king is the king of all words. It is the king of all words. If you are showing so much of respect to the title deed of your house by keeping it in a safe place, should you not be showing some form of respect to the Quran and Majeed? One person, one alim was in the Haram Sharif. And he saw a person reading Quran Sharif. I mean, I saw with my own eyes also in the Haram Sharif. Of course, people, sometimes they don't have the knowledge. We're fortunate, we're sitting here, we learn. This is how we learn. This person was reading the Quran Sharif, and Salah was about to start. So he took the Quran Sharif and put it between his legs. Meaning that when he was sitting in the position of Qaada, the Quran was underneath his bottoms. And I was behind. I could do nothing. And I was making dua, Ya Allah, give this person hidayat. He's actually almost literally sitting on the Quran Majeed. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But people think it's just one ordinary book. So this person, he took the Quran Sharif, Salah was about to start, and he put the Quran on top of his shoes. So an alim was walking past, he immediately picked up the Quran Majeed and placed it on a safe place. So this person got upset, took the Quran, put it back on his shoes. She said, brother, this is the Quran, you can't put it. He said, bring one hadith from Bukhari and Muslim that shows that I can't put the Quran on my shoes. So mashallah, Allah gave this person, sometimes you got to appeal to the logic. So he took the person's shoes and he put it on his head. The person became very, very, upset. He stood up and now wants to start a fight. How can you put the shoes on my head? He said, you bring one hadith from Bukhari and Muslim that shows that I can't put the shoes on your head. I mean, it's logical that your head is a respectable organ of the body. The head is a place of respect. It's the most respectable part of a person's body. And the shoes are placed on the ground. So you don't put the shoes on top of your head. So that's the logic. So can we not understand the value and the respect of the Quran and Majid? That the Quran and Majid should be given utmost respect. In fact, another incident comes to mind. Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had different stories, but the one version I will give you is that he was known as Bishr Hafi. He used to walk barefoot. It was a kayfiyat that overcame him, a condition that overcame him. He said, Allah says in the Quran al-Majid, وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ, that Allah has spread this earth as a carpet. So he used to say that if my Allah spread this earth as a carpet, how can I walk on Allah's carpet with shoes? Now, of course, it doesn't mean we have to do that, but this was his kayfiyat. This was his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his condition before he became this great wali of Allah is that he was perpetually drunk. He was all the time intoxicated. So one day, whilst in this intoxicated state, he walked into a certain area and he found a piece of paper lying on the floor. And this piece of paper had the name of Allah on it. So whilst intoxicated, he picked up this paper and he said, Ya Allah, they've put your name on the floor. How can they put your name on the floor? And he immediately cleaned this piece of paper and he placed it in a high position. That night he fell off to sleep and in his dream he heard a voice saying, O Bishr, you have shown respect to my name. Now I will grant your name respect. He woke up in this condition. He became very, very emotional and he started turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he became Bishr Hafi, the great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this we take it not upon anyone. You know, sometimes we see we have the soup kitchen. People are coming in, you know, in that soup kitchen in the condition that they're far, far away from deen. Sometimes the person is not in his right sane condition, not in the right frame of mind. We cannot even look down upon that person. Because you never know. They say in Urdu, aise waise kaise kaise hoge, aise waise kaise kaise hoge, or kaise kaise aise waise hoge. There were people that were very, very, you know, they were written off in society. They were regarded as absolutely hopeless, as complete failures. But Allah gave them hidayat. Allah is the one who turns the heart. That is why we say, Ya muqallib al qulub. ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا, that oh, the turner of hearts, Allah can turn hearts within seconds. Umar radiallahu anhu walks to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prior to accepting Islam. What an intention he had. Imagine, he wanted to assassinate the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, walking with his sword hanging around his neck. And he hears the verses of the Quran Majid and he has a turn of heart and he becomes Umar Farooq. And today you will find that his resting place is adjacent to that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah can turn hearts within seconds. And in the same way, a person can be very great and very pious and regard himself as very accepted in society. But Allah can pull away the hidayat. Allah can snatch the carpet between the person's or below the person's feet and that person can completely collapse. That is why a Muslim, al-imanu bayn al-khawfi wal-raja, a person has hope and the person has fear. If the person is doing good deeds, we must have fear that I don't know whether this deed of mine is accepted or not. Alhamdulillah, Allah brought me for Jummah Salah, but I do not know if my Jummah Salah is accepted, but I make shukr to Allah for having brought me here. Right? And if the person now has faltered and gone far away, then he needs to have raja, he needs to have hope that لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how far you've gone away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is waiting for you to turn towards Him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who takes one step towards Allah, Allah takes 10 steps towards him. That person who walks towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah comes running towards him. So Allah is waiting for us to turn towards Him. Allah wants us to link us, to be linked to Him. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, having said what we say, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies our hearts. Allah fills our hearts with respect and adab. Respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect for the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah fills our heart with the respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really, if our hearts become filled with respect and love, remember, as parents, if you will teach your children to respect others, they will respect you. But today, you make your children disrespect others in your community. For example, you leave this program and you tell your sons and your daughters and you speak ill of whoever it may be. Maybe not necessarily myself, but any imam. You speak ill of that person. Your children, you are teaching them how to disrespect. Wallahi, a time will come when those same children will disrespect you. Because you've taught them the lesson of disrespect. But on the contrary, if you teach your children respect, that even in the family, that brother of yours who happens to be their uncle, he does something inappropriate, he becomes upset, you make an excuse for them, but look, he's still your uncle after all. You still need to show him respect. We don't agree with what he's done, but he's your uncle, you need to respect him. You've taught your children how to respect others. A day will come where they will start respecting you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with respect. May Allah ta'ala make it such that we spread respect within the community. For this is how we are going to create unity within the community, by building respect for one another. May Allah keep us far, far away from disrespect, from bay-adabi, from bad-adabi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us His and unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.